Abraham was an old man already. And he'd walked with the Lord for almost 25 years since the time he was called. And he'd come both a long way in his faith and in the distance that he had traveled in those 25 years. In less than a year prior to this, Abraham and Sarah were told that their name was going to be changed from Abram to Abraham, from Sarai to Sarah. And Abraham had established residence in Beersheba, and he named it Beersheba because of an agreement with King Abimelech, the king at that time. And Isaac, the promised seed, was finally born to Abraham and to Sarah, a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman. And that's why it's counted on to him for righteousness, the fact that he believed that God would indeed keep that promise. Isaac grew and observed and he learned how his father's faith, his father's experiences, and his father's dealings with his own household, how they affected those around him. And Isaac learned from that. And Isaac was probably in his mid-teens, maybe 15, we don't really know for sure, when he set out on his journey with Abraham to Moriah. And if that's true, then it was about 40 years since Abraham was called, and Abraham was about 115 years of age at this time. Now, Isaac knew what sacrificing was. And if you recall, he asked his father, "I see the wood, I see the altar, but where's the lamb?" And Abraham replied prophetically that God would provide for himself a lamb. And Isaac submitted to his father, and he permitted himself to be offered. Now, I don't know if I'd let my father kill me, but Isaac was willing to submit to his father. That speaks very highly of the love that Isaac had for his dad. But Abraham said that God would provide the lamb. But when you read the account, there was no lamb that was offered that day. It was a ram that was caught in the thicket. So did Abraham lie to Isaac? And of course, no, he didn't. The lamb was indeed provided. But it was provided before the very foundations of the earth were laid. And the sacrifice of Isaac that day was accepted as if he was offered. And so the ram that was offered in lieu of, and it's not really in lieu of, the ram that was offered was the acceptance offering that God accepted the previous sacrifice. So Isaac not really being killed was accepted as being killed because Abraham was willing to do so. And that ram is what signifies that gift. So God accepted that offering and he extended his blessing to Abraham and consequently to Isaac also. In Genesis 22:19, we read that Abraham returned back to Beersheba after offering Isaac. Now, Isaac continued under his father's care and his tutelage for another 20-some years, all the while being prepared for his own relationship with the Lord God. Isaac grew up in a godly home. Even Abraham's chief servant, Eliezer, trusted the God of Abraham to bless the obtaining of a wife. Now, very little is recorded about Isaac after this experience with Mount Moriah. Isaac benefited and learned from his father's experiences, which is probably why there is very little recorded. In Genesis 23:1, we are told that Sarah, his mother, dies at the age of 127. And that Abraham had not received the promised land. And so Abraham had to beg the men of the land to sell him land. And so he bought the land to bury his wife in. Now, we don't know what the effect was on Isaac having his mother die. Some in similar circumstances would blame God for the loss. Some would be bitter because God hadn't kept his word. Here, God had promised Abraham this land, yet his father had to buy the land to bury his own mother or his own wife. But the scriptures are silent regarding Isaac's conclusion and his reaction. And I think it's proper that the conclusion we draw is that Isaac harbored no resentment. And then he waited on the Lord. And Isaac did indeed manifest a great degree of patience and trust in divine providence. And Isaac, as a type of Christ, was fully submissive to the will of his father, even as our Lord Jesus was. And Isaac allowed Eliezer to go and find a bride for him. So our Lord Jesus submits to the Heavenly Father to draw his bride for him as well. Now, as you read the scriptures in Genesis 24, Isaac apparently, after the death of his mother, establishes his own residence. He moves south to the Negev area in the south country. And he's apart from Abraham. And that's assuming that Abraham is still dwelling in the Beersheba area. And we are not told when Isaac established his residence, but it's reasonable to conclude that it was after his mother's death. And so if that's true, then he's been on his own for about 2.5, maybe 3 years. And during that time frame, Eliezer goes and finds a bride for Isaac, and Eliezer returns. Now, as you read, it says that Isaac was out in the fields. Well, it so happens that Isaac plans his trip back to visit his father. And he times that trip in conjunction with when he expects Eliezer to return. And the King James says that Isaac was out meditating in the field. Now, that's really not the proper understanding. The Hebrew for that word meditating really means to mourn. So Isaac is out in the eventide, and he's mourning the loss of his mother. And he sees the caravan, and you remember the account how Rebekah inquires, who is that man? And Eliezer tells him, and then Isaac takes Rebekah for his wife. And at that time, Isaac is 40 years old, and his father is 140. Now, Isaac, like his father before him, needed to learn what the sovereignty of God really is. So 20 years pass between the taking of Rebekah as his wife and Isaac's firstborn children, Esau and Jacob. And that 20 years passes, and Isaac entreats the Lord for his wife so she could have children. And he offers an intercessory prayer. And she becomes pregnant, and she has the twins. Now, it's very interesting that in those 20 years, there's no record of Isaac or Rebekah complaining about her infertility. You remember when Jacob's wife, Rachel, she complained, and Jacob rebuked her and says, "Am I God that I can give you children?" There's no account. There's no record of the attitude of Rebekah and Isaac. And it seems that they were very willing to wait upon the Lord. So at the birth of his two children, Isaac is 60, and his father Abraham is 160 years old. And 15 years later, Abraham dies at the age of 175. And he's buried, and a second famine comes into the land. And so Jacob and Esau are about 15 years of age now. Isaac wants to head to Egypt. God comes to him and says, "Don't go to Egypt." So he goes down east of Gerar by King Abimelech, and God tells him, "Don't go to Egypt." And in effect, he boxes Isaac right into the land. You can't go to Egypt. You can go south a little bit, but you can't leave the promised land. And God tells Isaac that because of Abraham's faith, God would establish with Isaac the oath that he swore to Abraham prior. So Isaac is initially blessed because of his father's faith, and not his own. And we know this because of two different sets of scriptures. In Genesis 25:5, we are told that Isaac receives the firstborn's inheritance. It says that Abraham, just in the time that he marries Keturah, he gives to Isaac all that he has, and he sends all of his other sons with Keturah away. And the second set of scriptures is in Genesis 26:1-5, where we are told directly that the blessing of Isaac is because of the obedience, and then also the faith of his father Abraham. And the actual blessing to Isaac at this time is found in Genesis 26:4. "I will multiply your descendants as the star of heaven, and will give your descendants all these lands, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." And here Isaac receives the spiritual blessing. Now it's important to note that there is no mention of sand or dust in this promise. The promise is, "Your descendants will be as the stars of heaven." There is no mention of sand or dust to Isaac in the promise. Isaac stays in the land of the Philistines, and because of God's blessing, becomes very rich. He's already rich, but becomes very rich. And the Philistines fear Isaac's success, and in an attempt to thwart Isaac, they fill all the wells that his father Abraham had dug, wells that Isaac relied upon to maintain his herds and his family. Isaac simply redigs them, and he renames them with the exact name that his father named them originally. Now, King Abimelech sees Isaac's wealth. He sees Isaac's power, and he fears Isaac. And he sends him away peacefully. And Isaac moves back to Beersheba from the east, slowly back to Beersheba in stages. And each stage he stops and digs a well to support him and his herds. The Philistines contend for the well. Isaac relinquishes it and keeps going back towards Beersheba. Digs a second well. There's contention for the second well. He relinquishes it and he moves back to Beersheba. And he digs a third well. And he finally says in Genesis 26:22, "At last the Lord has made room for us." So Isaac is trusting God to give him the land in his own due time and in his own way. And so he relinquishes all of his claims to the wells that he had dug and returns back to Beersheba. And that very night, in Genesis 26:4, God assures Isaac of his blessing, reaffirming the covenant already made with his father Abraham. So you understand what's happening? Isaac has moved away from the land that was promised to him. God moves him back into the land. And Isaac does it peacefully. He doesn't contend for the wells. He gives them up. And as soon as he comes to the land he's supposed to be in, and he digs that final well, God comes to him that night and says, "I'm going to bless you because you are here." Now, God's timing is amazing because immediately after that, King Abimelech comes to follow after him. He says, "I want to make a peace treaty with you." So not only does Isaac receive God's blessing, but he also receives the blessing in the sense that he no longer has to contend with the Philistines in that area. And then it's recorded in Genesis 26:25 that Isaac builds an altar. And for the first and only time in the scriptures, it says that Isaac calls upon the name of the Lord. And here Isaac establishes permanency and residency with this well. So King Abimelech departs, and then God comes to him immediately after King Abimelech departs, and he says, he blesses Isaac's acknowledgement of God by making that well that he just dug prosperous. His servants come to him and said, "The well that we just dug is filling up." So three things happen. He comes to Beersheba, King Abimelech, and God tells him, "I'm going to bless you. I'm going to confirm that oath." King Abimelech comes to him and says, "I'm going to make a peace treaty with you." And then the servants come and say, "Guess what? The well that we just dug is bringing out the water." Now Isaac, as his father before, now unreservedly walked with the Lord. Before that time, Isaac was blessed because of his father's faith. And from this point forward, it was because of his own faith. Now Isaac leads a long life, and he seems to be a very quiet and a very peaceful man. There's no record ever of Isaac ever lifting up his arms in either offense or defense. Remember, Jacob fights, Abraham fights. Isaac, there's no record of it. He's a man of peace. Now, there's more recorded scripture about his father Abraham and his son Jacob than is recorded about Isaac himself. And years later, Jacob returns from Padan Aram, where he is sent off to establish himself. And in time, Jacob and Esau reconcile and bury Isaac. And Isaac's 180 years old. And this is in Genesis 35:28. Now Isaac never left the land promised to him. He lived out his days in the areas of Beersheba and Hebron to the south. And though he never left the land promised to him, neither did he ever receive it as his own inheritance. And like his father before him, Isaac was a man of God. He believed in his promise. He lived his life accordingly. But he never realized the fulfillment of that very promise. Now Isaac is a fitting picture of Christ also. The scriptures record for us Isaac's relationship with his father Abraham and this relationship that he has established with his heavenly father. And Isaac is also used as part of an allegory for the Sarah covenant. And in Galatians 4:28, we are told, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise." The church class, you and I, the faithful and obedient, are developed through this Sarah feature of the Abrahamic promise, or the Abrahamic covenant, of which Isaac was that promised seed. Now how fitting is that, that in the promise to Isaac by God, there is no mention of an earthly inheritance. It's just the spiritual. The scriptures record an amazing amount of information about the life of Isaac in comparison to many other biblical characters. And God deems it necessary to tell us so much about Isaac because there's something he wants us to learn. Well, what is it that we can draw and conclude from the life of Isaac? I think the thing that we can learn, the most poignant thing I could point out about the life of Isaac, is that through Isaac's experiences, we learn to acquiesce to God in a quiet and patient manner, letting God work things out on our own behalf in His own time. And that's the lesson of Isaac's life, to wait before the Lord and let the Lord deliver His promises to us. Now, in fulfillment of a promise made to Abraham, reiterated to Isaac and confirmed to Jacob a long time ago, the nation of Israel exists under God's care. And she exists because of the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we are the spiritual nation of Israel, if you will. And the lessons that each of these men learned are lessons we must learn also. And as their faith grew until they reached the point of complete reliance upon their Heavenly Father, so must ours. We're going to have our experiences where we have to dig a well to support ourselves and relinquish it. We're going to have experiences where we're going to have to defend, if you will, our families in some respect and trust the Lord to bless us in the defense of it or in the support of it. The experiences of Abraham teaches us to put God first above all else and to trust Him and obey Him, even if we don't understand how or why God's going to work it out. The experiences of Isaac teach us that we are to acquiesce and to wait upon the Lord's blessing in our life and let Him reveal His plans and purposes in His own due time.